Good afternoon. We're going to call the Omnibus Supplemental Finance Bill Conference Committee to order. Members, we have the K-12 articles in front of you, actually. Just a little process first before we start. You should have a sheet in front of you that says K-12 Proposed Conference Committee Adoptions that you can track where we're going with. And then we have the spreadsheets. We only have three articles in front of you at this point, but there's nine total. So to manage paper, we're going to just go through the first three, and then we'll collect and move and then pass out the next three. We have Chair Loon, and we have Chair Dames and Chair Pratt. I can barely see them. So of course, Chair Pratt is for education policy in the Senate. Chair Dames is sitting in for Senator Nelson at this point, and of course, Chair Loon chairs the House Education Policy and Finance. Do you have any comments, Senator or Representative Knobloch?
Senator Rosen, now. I was doing that to you yesterday. Now you're doing it to me.
No,
I don't have any comments. Appreciate the hard work the committee put in last night. I thought we made a lot of good progress yesterday, and we're hoping to make more good progress today.
Yeah, absolutely. So first we're going to have the chairs walk through. We'll start with you, Chair Balloon, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you want me to walk through the articles or just the funding portion?
Just an overview, please.
Okay. So we had a little over $30 million to accomplish what we want to in this omnibus, and it is both policy and finance. I think the biggest component of our spending in this is for a school safety package. And as we go through the specific provisions, members will hear what those are, but a lot of similarities between the House and the Senate bills on that, and so we kind of combined everything, the best of the best, as well as recommendations from the governor. So there's Safe Schools revenue. There's some grants for things for physical security audits. There's school safety assessment teams, money for suicide prevention, some flexibility with long-term facilities maintenance. For a couple of years so that schools can accomplish the projects that they'd like to ensure that their buildings are safe and that students are secure, as well as some individual grants for priorities from the House and Senate, English language learners, school bus safety campaigns, character development education, some PSEO grants and that, and we can go through, or staff can go through the spreadsheets. So I think our school safety package, which is the first article, is very strong. And school-linked mental health, I neglected that. And a very important component, Madam Chair. And thank you for your longstanding and consistent work with that as well, something that I think is incredibly important. And we have been in an upward trend in terms of providing more resources to schools for mental health services for their students. When I travel to schools, wherever I go in Minnesota, a small rural district, a suburban district, the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, it is the one consistent theme that I hear from school officials, from teachers, is that they have more students presenting with mental health challenges and they really need more resources to deal with that. So I think that is an incredibly important component of what we're doing. And then funding, the $5 million of funding for that for each year is going to be ongoing in the tail. So that's a permanent increase in that fund, which I think is very important. You know, a few other things that we'll talk about in the articles. I'll just mention some things on student discipline. And again, much of this is taken from the governor's bill and then the House and the Senate. Sort of we put our own sort of touches on it, but I think a very good components on some discipline reforms. We are going to increase sort of attention to civics education for high schoolers, something that Representative Erdahl had worked very hard on the House side, to see a screening and identifying that for students and providing more help is something that's also prominent in the bill. Just trying to pick out some highlights here. Teacher code of conduct or teacher code of ethics. This is a bill that I carried in the House, and there were some components of that in the Senate bill as well. So we worked out provisions on that. So we will be codifying the teacher code of ethics. That was part of the rules for the Board of Teaching, or now PELSB, and that will be codified with some changes and strengthening of that. There will be a temporary delay in the new tiered licensure system as PELSB rolls that out. Lunch shaming, school lunch provisions. This has been a topic of some concern, and so we have very similar provisions in the House and Senate bill that we combined, and to make sure that students are not shamed or in any way disrespected as they are getting their school lunch. And just some technical and other things, I think, whether it's language coming from the department or some other issues, but I think we addressed some important needs for the second year of the biennium, and again, with the focus being a very strong school safety package, which I think is important to all of us.
Thank you. Representative Loon, appreciate that. Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and members, I kind of ran up the steps, so I was a little out of breath, but I want you to know it's not because I'm an older person. It's because I'm so darn young. My lungs haven't matured yet, so
that's right.
I'm catching my breath. So we'll move on from there. Senate File 3656 represents significant progress in school safety policy and modest improvements in many other areas. Safe schools become a premier concern in E-12 education finance this session. And this bill delivers important tools to address those primary concerns. Almost all of the 2019 new money, $25 million in these articles, is devoted to safe schools and student mental health. The articles include $1 million in new 2019 one-time school safety audit for school safety audits. We have tails of $15 million a year in the articles are devoted to safe schools and student mental health grants. The existing Safe School Revenue Program is expanded in its possible uses and is bolstered by significant state aid, $20 million in 2019 and $15 million in the tails. This is now modestly equalized for the low property wealth districts. Through Safe Schools Revenue and small expansion to long-term facilities maintenance revenue, districts will be able to make needed safety-related facility improvements. Additionally, with savings found in other parts of the E-12 budget, one-time funds were made available for the following safety-related purposes. School bus safety campaign for $41 million, character development grants for $41,000, character development grants for $725,000, Jake's Law substance abuse prevention for $300,000, school safety student assessment grants for $150,000, school resource officer training for $250,000, suicide prevention training for teachers for $273,000, and then other non-safety related strengths of the bill include increased aid for districts with higher than average telecommunication access charges. A lot of that would apply to our rural districts. Regional libraries are also allow us to use funds to purchase equipment for increased internet access. And the McPhail Online Music Education Program in rural Minnesota will be used, and in vocational enrichment revenue for extended week and summer pilot programs. All in all, I feel it's a pretty well-rounded bill for the number of dollars that were spent, and I think that it's will certainly be of help.
Thank you, Senator Dames. And Senator Pratt, and I know Representative Erickson is your counterpart in the House, but I do not see her at this point, so. And I don't see you, actually, either, Senator Pratt. But you're back there, I know.
Unfortunately, Bjornstedt aren't tall.
That's right.
Well, between Bjorn and Greg sitting on the same side, I can't see you either. Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I know this is a Finance Committee, and so I won't spend a lot of time talking about policy, but I think there are a couple of very important items that both the Senate and the House were able to come to agreement on. you know, it was remarkable how similar our bills were coming in, and so those items where we were different were very easy to target and discuss. A couple of things, Chair Loon really touched on most of them, but I want to talk just about a couple. On school safety, working with the House to define a process where students who threaten violence against a school may be expelled, and making sure that that's perfectly clear that our school districts have that authority. Too often we're seeing hoax threats or even real threats coming through, and we want to make sure that those are treated consistent with the severity of the act. Non-public school non-public students are able to participate in PSEO at 10th grade, which is the same as our public school students, to make sure that we've got consistency among our homeschoolers and our public school students. We're requiring schools to categorize expenditures for basic skills revenue and require MDE to submit a report to the legislature. We're also increasing the number of audits to standards that the districts will do. We make it easier for military recruiters to be in our local schools talking about career options in the military and allowing students who are affected by active duty with excused absences. We did quite a bit with dyslexia. Dyslexia was a problem that really had a lot of discussion as we talk about literacy. Literacy is one of the most important factors when identifying a student's success in school, and we're finding more and more often that dyslexia seems to be part of the root of that. And so screening students who display characteristics and symptoms of dyslexia, but also ensuring that the new dyslexia specialist works with the Pelsby to identify criteria so that teachers can have continuing ed to spot those characteristics. We want to make sure that our MCA testing, which is used to test student proficiency, is done as late as possible in the year. We worked with unclaimed drugs. This was an issue that school nurses brought to us, where they are stuck with a cabinet full of unclaimed prescription drugs at the end of a school year and had no way to dispose of them. This provides a framework for that to be done. Under special education, we're going to convene a legislative working group to look at why or what's driving the rising costs in special education, so that we can take a look at that next year and start to draft some policies and hopefully some understand what the financial needs will be. You know, with that, I think for the most part, Chair Loon covered it, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Chair Pratt. Appreciate all of you for your fine work on this bill. With that, I am going to turn over to the spreadsheet. Members, we have three of them, actually, in front of you. We have the property tax tracking one. It's the largest colored, this one. We also have the aid appropriations summary, which is another long one, dated 7:15 p.m. But I believe I'm going to have Ms. Larson and Ms. Adrian's go over the change item summary, which is the smaller, short, semi-colored version. And who would like to start? Ms. Larson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can start with the spreadsheet walkthrough, and then I'll pass it over to Ms. Adrian's if
thank
that
you.
Works for you. So as Madam Chair stated, we will be going over the one-page summary of all of the change items. To briefly orient you with the spreadsheet, across the top you will see columns.
Ms. Larson, excuse me. Members, we're on the 5/14/2018 at 7:15 p.m. It's a smaller, there seems to be a little confusion, the smaller one. Okay, thank you. Ms. Larson.
Thank you. So I should state that the two other spreadsheets are just a more detailed version of the change item sheet. This condenses all of those changes appropriately. So to orient you with the spreadsheet, you will see columns A through F at the top of the page. These are for each fiscal year and then the biennial totals. The lines going down the side are going to be useful in identifying which program we're on. And there are article numbers which show where the provision can be found in the side-by-side summary. So beginning at the top on line 10, the conference agreement would be to include non-public 10th grade students in CTE PSEO courses at $10,000 per year beginning in fiscal year 2019. Line 11, the graduation incentives program for students age 21 at $26,000 in fiscal year 2019 only. Line 12 would be the OLA report on school revenue, and this would be in fiscal year 2019 only at $200,000. Line 14 would be the school bus safety campaign at $41,000 per year in fiscal year 2019 only. Onto the school safety article provisions, line 15, incentive grants for character development education. This would be $190,000 of guaranteed funding in fiscal year 2019, and then $535,000 would be contingent on the consolidation transition revenue and the Department of Education litigation appropriation reallocation. Those are on lines 48 and 51 of the spreadsheet. Line 16, Jake's Law, this $300,000 in fiscal year 2019 only would be contingent upon the Department of Education litigation appropriation reallocation. Line 17 would be long-term facilities maintenance. It would allow districts to include school safety for facilities. This would be fiscal years 2020 and 2021 only. So you will see that in columns D and E. For the TAILS, this would be a total of $1.7 million. Line 18 is physical security audit grants at $1 million in fiscal year 2019 only. Line 19 is the Safe Schools revenue at $19,919,000 in fiscal year 2019, and the TAILS total of $15.922 million. Line 20 would be a layer of Safe Schools equalization aid for fiscal years 2020 and 2021 only, for a total of $2.185 million in the TAILS. Line 21 would be $250,000 in fiscal year 2019 only to the SANA Foundation. Line 22 is the school-linked mental health grants at $5 million per year beginning in fiscal year 2019. Line 24 would provide $250,000 to the school resource officer training. I believe I skipped line 23, which is the school safety assessment grants at $150,000 in fiscal year 2019 only. And line 25 would be suicide prevention training grants for teachers at $273,000 in fiscal year 2019 only. And I will turn it over to Ms. Adrians to go through the education excellence provisions.
Ms. Adrians.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I will start on line 26. This is the Mind Foundry Learning Foundation grant for $100,000 in fiscal year 2019 only. It is also a grant that is contingent on the litigation funding for the agency being available for other purposes. On line 27, this is the Mounds View Early College Aid Program, $200,000 in fiscal year 19 only. On line 28, there's $31,000 in fiscal year 19 only for the Grand Rapids Children's Museum. On line 29, this is a program, an online access to music education grant program for the McPhail Center, $125,000 in fiscal year 19 only. On line 30, there's $150,000 in fiscal year 19 only for vocational enrichment revenue. On line 31, there is $135,000 in fiscal year 19 only for the vocational PSEO grant. This program is contingent on consolidation transition aid being available for other purposes. On line 32, this is the Monticello adjustment for special ed, and it's $800,000 in fiscal year 19 only. On line 33, this is an increase in access for school districts and charters for telecommunications aid, $562,000 in one-time funding in 19 only. On line 34, $73,000 in fiscal year 19 only for the Promise Neighborhood Central Program in Central Minnesota for Ed Partnerships. On line 35, civics test reporting. This we did not previously have on the spreadsheet, but we had language in the bill. And this is just funding to aid the agency in putting together a program to collect the data and report back on the civics test. And this is $85,000 in fiscal year 2020 only. On line 36, this is the Turnaround Arts Program, and it's $185,000 in fiscal year 2019 only. On line 37, this is a little bit of a different language. It's the same amount, $25,000 in fiscal year 2019 only. It is for Pelsby to develop an ethics complaint process, and it was previously called the academic balance provision. And I think I will turn it back over to Ms. Larson for the saving.
Thank you, Ms. Adrians. Ms. Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will go through the savings section. On line 48, there is a savings of $270,000 in fiscal year 2019. This would be contingent on no school districts consolidating in fiscal year 2019. Line 49 is a savings of $600,000 from the Certificate Incentive Program. Line 50 is a savings of $200,000 for the Vision Therapy Pilot Project, which would be canceled as the grant was never accepted. Line 51 would be a contingent savings of $800,000 if the Department of Education were not to need the remainder of the appropriation for litigation and legal fees. Line 52 would be a savings of $800,000 from canceling the remaining Crosswind severance funds. Line 53 would be a savings of $141,000 from a cancellation of the Crosswinds disposition costs that are no longer needed. And that brings us to a net total on line 60. For the 2018-19 biennium, the net total is $28.019 million. And for the 2020-2021 biennium, the net total is $29.922 million. And I'll turn it over to Ms. Adrians, who can walk through the levy changes.
Thank you, Ms. Larson. Ms. Adrians.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. On line 65 is the beginning of the levy changes. This is an increase in $300 per pupil for the local optional levy. And it is there's a spending and a savings portion, so it is $159 million, but it is spending and reduction, and so that nets out to zero. And then on line 67, this is the Safe Schools levy offset of $1.15 million in reduction. And I just want to point out this is for fiscal years 2021 only, and it ends after the end of the biennium. And then on line 68, this is an increase in the long-term facilities maintenance levy, and as Ms. Larson described earlier, to include school safety uses, and it's an increase of $1.15 million each year, but also only for the 2021 biennium.
Thank you, Ms. Adrians. Are there any questions on the spreadsheet? Any comments, discussion for the chairs? Members will adopt this spreadsheet after we have a chance to go through the articles. With that, before we do that, though, we're going to have testimony from Commissioner Casilius. Welcome, Commissioner Casilius. I think you're back there. There we go. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Chair Knobloch, and members, thank you for having me, Brenda Casilius, Commissioner of Education. I want to thank you for your work and diligence in the session. I also want to thank Representative Loon as well as Senator Nelson for their work. Senator Pratt, and also Representative Erickson, who did work on the education provisions. There are some things that I like, there are some things that we still have to work on, and there are some things that are still rather difficult in the bill. So I'll start with the positives first. I like the strong focus on school safety and the additional resources. It's not just unfunded mandates to school, but there are some resources. We do wish the resources were a little bit more around school safety, but we appreciate the focus on keeping our kids safe. In the school safety provisions, there is good bipartisan support around mental health provisions. Those were also in the governor's bill and very supportive of the work around mental health funding. There's also agreement and work that was done to protect students around lead in water, and that also is good, and then also work that was done this session around respectful school lunch policies and strengthening dyslexia supports to students. But the problem with the overall bill is that the target is just too low. With the $329 million surplus, the governor has proposed $163 million, and the conference report has $28 million as its target, which is just 8.5% of the surplus going to our children in Minnesota. And with a low TALES target as well, that constrains what can be done. So I know that the chairs were constrained with their targets on what could be done, and therefore we have a lot of funding, most of the $28 million going to school safety and very little going to schools, and the remainder going to outside organizations or small granting programs. The governor, in his proposal, has proposed money for equity purposes to target resources to our poorest kids, to address issues of the achievement gap, and to get emergency funding to schools so they don't have to cut their teachers, cut programming further, or in some instances, close schools. So there is the emergency aid he has proposed at $137 million that's missing. The focus on funding, the underfunding, which 195 school districts told us that was their number one priority to bring down the growing costs of special education. The preschool investments that we've made collectively as a body over many years, especially last year to make them permanent. We certainly don't want to pull the rug underneath our schools, and they need to be able to let parents know early next year if they have spots. And that's over 4,000 students who would lose a spot in preschool. Then we have our Bureau of Indian Education schools, and the House had put in the provision for the Bureau of Indian Education schools, but it did not make it into the final report. These are students who are grossly underfunded by the federal government and should be given ongoing funding. We've made good agreement over the past 4 years for the funding, but it's always been one time. And that funding should be ongoing for those students so they have an equal opportunity to an excellent education like any other Minnesota student. And then there's a small provision in the governor's bill for our adult learners who have yet to earn their high school diploma. And it's just $400,000 so that students are able, ABE students and students who have maybe dropped out can earn their adult diploma or their GED. So that's missing. And finally, I just want to mention some of the provisions in the bill that are problematic. The governor has said he would prefer that finance bills come as finance bills with no policy in them. And we still have concerns about the summative rating system and the 0 to 100 provision in there, which interferes with the way that we are doing our weighting on our ESSA program. The repeal of the teacher license for pre-K, already we have lessen the requirements in Minnesota for a qualified teacher by having a tiered license system and not requiring preparation until tier four. So I'm not certain why this provision's in there. Increased reporting on civics. I don't know how that's going to make our children better citizens by asking for unfunded mandates from school districts. Increased mandates to the agency and school districts without any additional funding, although I appreciate that some of the funding cuts to the agency were taken out from the Senate provisions in FY19, as well as the provisions of $2 million cut to the agency in 2021. There are multiple mandates in this bill for the agency and new work to school districts as well that don't come with any new funding. And there's still disagreement around PELSB, although the department does not oversee this board any longer, the Professional Educating Licensing Board. They're still, they have delayed it to September 1, but they say they needed at least 4 months to get the new IT systems in to make sure that everyone and school districts have the proper notifications and training in order to deliver on the licensing and the rules get in place and that sort of thing. And so they're asking for additional time, at least 4 months of time. And then what continues to be problematic is also the litigation funding. And there's been a capture of $800,000. As you know, the state, both bodies, as well as the department, is being sued. We have two large cases, Forslund and Cruz Guzman, in front of the Supreme Court now. We anticipate the AG's office that said that they may take that up this summer. And if that's taken up, we need this funding in order to defend the state properly, to get the experts and to pay the experts so that we are able to address the litigation in front of us. And with that, I just want to say that we are ready to work with the chairs on making this bill more acceptable to the governor. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Are there any questions for the commissioner? Commissioner, when did this emergency aid funding come from the governor, the $137 million? When was that?
I believe it, Madam Chair, committee members, I believe it was May 1st that he proposed it.
Okay. And Commissioner, I also know the pension bill has passed off the Senate floor, unanimous.
Okay.
And it's, I think, approaching the House floor. Do you ever talk about the relief that the pension bill is going to provide to the school districts? Because that I have yet to hear that in the conversations.
Madam Chair, committee members, the governor has been supportive of the pension bill and having it run separately. So appreciative of both bodies continuing to address the pension bill. As you know, this is an area that we worked on last year as well. And so that's appreciated.
Mm-hmm. It should be provide some relief, though, to the school districts individually for that, for the relief. Senator Benson.
Madam Chair, I don't recall how much impact does the pension bill have on school districts.
At least, yeah, 44 to 45 million, I believe.
So, Madam Chair, that is
Senator Benson.
45 million of funds that they don't have to spend, they could use for other purposes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Senator Benson. Representative Knobloch just had that in Ways and Means yesterday, so it's fresh on his mind. Further questions for the commissioner? Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Thank you, Madam
Appreciate
Chair.
It. With members, we're going to set the spreadsheet aside, and now we're going to go and move to the appropriation articles. We have the KRB 18-09 in front of you.
Madam Chair, I will move the KRB 18-09 article, and I will move the entire Article 33, which is Sections 1 through 9, and it is found in the side-by-side on pages R1, R3, R7, R13 to 14, and R20. There's also the school linked mental health grants in here that originally were in the Senate HHS bill, Article 29. R1.
Thank you, Representative
and
Knobloch.
I'd move that language I mentioned.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. Is there a discussion on that motion? And chairs, would you like to comment on this motion, on this provision?
Madam Chair, I would be in favor of the motion, and this is the agreement worked out between the House and the Senate, and it's largely the school safety package.
Senator Dames?
I also would be in favor of that.
Senator Pratt is gone. Yes, he's gone. Okay, thank you. I would just like to say something about the school-linked mental health grants, and thank you, Representative Loon, for your comments on that. I think that's a very important part. All of us around this table can go to any one of our school districts, and this is becoming a huge issue for them. And what's more troubling is that the waiting list is growing, and the resources are not available to address the issues and these children at our schools. So this is a program that's going to go statewide, and it's going to go through telehealth. And the initial visit with the provider will be one-on-one with the family member and the child. It will be provided in a safe place in the school district. And I'm very excited that the House took the Senate language. The House had just the four pilot projects that we came up with first, but then the department and all the other advocates agreed that this could go statewide. So with that, Senator Kickmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think probably the one thing that I heard from my districts more than anything was to give them local flexibility. That was really, really important. And all of our schools are in a little different spot, different place in the state. So giving them that flexibility with the money so it is a funded need that they have. So I'm really glad to see that my districts are really glad to see that local control and that local flexibility. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Further comments? This is the highlight, the cornerstone of the bill. It's very important. So I'm just going to renew Representative Knobloch's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Representative Knobloch.
Okay, Madam Chair, next I'd like to move Article 34. This is the KRD 18-01. And I think I would like to move Sections 1, 2, and 3 of this article. Actually, let me go a little bit further than that. I'll move sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then sections 7 through 20, excluding section 18. And so, again, that'd be sections 1 through 17, sections 19 and 20. This is found in the general education section of the side-by-side on pages R1 through R9 for the items up through section 17, and then page R16 for the numbers 19 and 20. And this is concerning non-public textbook aids and other non-public items, dual enrollment, eligible institutions, and PSEO, and local option revenue.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. Questions on that motion? Representative Loon?
I would support the motion, Madam Chair.
Senator Dames?
Yes.
Thank you. Further discussion on the Representative Knobloch motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails.
Okay, Madam Chair,
Representative Knobloch.
I would move the rest of Article 34, which is Section 18 and Sections 21 through 28. These are found in the side-by-side on page R14, R17 through R21. They concern, and Article 33, which is a combination of language from the House and Senate. This concerns school pupil and revenue audits, and other various education initiatives within the general education article.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. Questions, comments on that motion? Yes, it's Representative Torkelson.
There are a number of repealers at the end of this section. Are we going to cover those?
Sure, that would be Section 28. And,
Mr. Arneson.
Yes, Madam Chair, if Mr. Arneson would like to do that.
Madam Chair, the repealers at the end of Article 34 are all from the Senate bill. Paragraph A repealer, Section 123A26, is an unused authority for school districts to request that certain aid payments be made to cooperative units. It's been on the books, but has been never been used. 125A75 is a report of special education litigation costs, and the Senate position was that these costs are adequately reported in the district and agency accounting systems, and no duplicate report was necessary. Paragraph B is a repealer of obsolete provisions relating to the conversion of referendum revenue about 10 or 15 years ago. Finally, paragraph C is repealing the board-approved referendum revenue authority that in this subdivision 9A would be made obsolete by the earlier provisions in the bill transferring board-approved referendum authority to the local optional program.
Questions on that? Okay, thank you. Okay. Representative Knobloch renews his motion on sections 18, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative Knobloch.
Madam Chair, next I would like to move language from the KRB 18-04, Article 35. And Madam Chair, this is a pretty significant article, and so I think what I will do take the first section related to accountability and instruction, and that would be sections 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
9,
14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 13. And there's also a repealer at the end of this 53A. And, Madam Chair, that would be my motion.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. Mr. Arneson, could you go through the repealer, please? Oops. Butler. Mr. Butler. Ms. Butler, I'm sorry.
Find it. Madam Chair and members, the repealer in 53A or paragraph A, at the end of this article, is the definitions for low, medium, and high growth.
And that's it.
And Madam Chair, just so that there's anyone who doesn't have the information who's watching this, this relates primarily to issues relating to graduation requirements, the world's best workforce, statewide testing, school performance, and other related school and student progress.
Questions on this motion? Representative Loon?
Madam Chair, I would support the motion, and just if there's any confusion about the growth that Ms. Butler referenced, some of these are changes that we're needing to do to conform with ESSA, the Every Student Succeeds Act, at the federal level. So we're just making our programs conform to that.
Okay, thank you. Senator Dames?
I'll also support the motion.
Thank you. Representative Knobloch renews his motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative Knobloch.
Okay, Madam Chair, I'd next like to move the same article, Article 35, the language from the KRB 18-04 language. This would be sections 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, and 37. This would be language related to student discipline.
Excellent. Comments, questions on this motion? Representative Loon.
Madam Chair, I would support the motion.
Thank you. Senator Dames?
I'll also support the motion.
Members? Representative Knobloch renews his motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Representative Knobloch.
Okay, Madam Chair.
We're still on
Article 35, the KRB 18-04 reference. And, Madam Chair, from that I would move sections 10, 11, 42, 1, 2, 12, 45, 25, 38, 39, 40, 43, 44, and 50. And, Madam Chair, this relates to primarily three subjects. It relates to student literacy, relates to school employee issues, and relates to other student provisions like education records.
Wonderful. Discussion on the Representative Knobloch's motion. Representative Bloom?
Support the motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Dames?
Yes, I'll support it.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails.
Okay, finally, Madam Chair, in
Representative Knobloch.
KRB 18-04 reference, I would move the remaining sections, which would be sections 22, 23, 24, 41, 52, 46, 47, 48, 49, 51, and 53B, all again of Article 35.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch, on your motion. And if we could have again Ms. Butler on the revisers and the repealers.
Madam Chair, members, the repealer in 53 paragraph B is the vision therapy pilot program, which was gone over in the spreadsheet as a savings when Ms. Larson was presenting the spreadsheet.
Okay, thank you.
And Madam Chair.
Representative Knobloch.
This relates to a number of kind of miscellaneous articles regarding schools. It also has a number of funding and appropriation issues in it.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Butler, did you have a comment?
Madam Chair, I think you also asked for the revisor instruction.
Right.
I missed responding. And the revisor instruction is recodifying provisions related to intermediate school districts and putting them as part of the education code.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Knobloch renews his motion. Representative Bloom, good?
I would strongly support the motion.
Thank you, Senator Dames.
Also support it.
Wonderful. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Members, we are going to go to Article 36. It's going to be passed out at this point, and we'll go to 36, 37, and 38. And just those three right now, so. Everyone should have Article 36, 37, and 38. Representative Knobloch.
Madam Chair, I would move the language in Article 36, which is the KRB 18-08 language. And I'm going to move all of Article 36, which is the following sections, 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 through 36, 37, and 38 through 56. And I think I said section 8-2, and I want to also include sections 4 and 5. So it's basically Sections 1 through 57 in their entirety. And, Madam Chair, this is basically about teachers. It codifies the code of ethics, talks about PELSBA board member compensation and other issues relating to the PELSBA board, updated referencing to the licensing board, background checks, disclosure, various other language related to teachers and employees.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. And Ms. Butler, is there anything else you could add to that? This is quite lengthy here.
Madam Chair, and members, Representative Knobloch's characterizations are correct. A large portion is the teacher ethics bill that Representative Loon and Senator Pratt carried and conferenced. In addition to some reporting requirements for states of adjudication and bus drivers, as well as all school employees. And also the rulemaking for the licensing board and extending that deadline, as well as putting in some temporary rules if the extension is not met.
Thank you, Ms. Butler. Representative Liu?
I would support the motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Senator Dames?
I also support the motion.
Discussion on this motion? Okay, members, all those in favor of Representative Knobloch's motion, all say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative Knobloch.
Okay, Madam Chair, next we're going to go to Article 37, which is a pretty short article, so I'll move the entire Article 37, which is the KRB 18-03 language. And I will move sections 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And this is basically various special education articles. Talks about homeless transportation for districts that have children moving from one to another, mental health grants, special education adjustment for Monticello, and the special education working group.
Thank you very much, Representative Knobloch, for your motion. Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, this is basically the special ed working group that Senator Pratt mentioned and a few other provisions, and I would strongly support its adoption.
Senator Dames? Thank you. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have an amendment that I believe applies to this particular article. How would you like us to proceed with amendments?
We can take it now.
Okay. Madam Chair, I have the SCS 3656A225 amendment, and I hope it's being offered to the proper article. If Council wants to correct me, I'd appreciate it. And this was language that the Forest Lake School District has been working on a transportation issue, and they got some funding last year. They'd like to take an approach to review transportation for districts with low density as compared to districts with high density. And so this was an approach that Representative Detmer had brought forward. It was not heard in the Senate, but I'm hoping that we can review the subject matter and that Chair Loon has seen this and can accept it.
And Mr. Botter mentioned that this can be put anywhere, so do not worry about line 1.2. We can insert this anywhere if this is agreeable. Representative Loon.
Madam Chair, committee members, yes. I have spoken with Representative Detmer about this. So he has been working on this for a long time with regards to districts that have higher pupil transportation costs than others, and whether or not those resources they receive for pupil transportation and busing services is adequate. So this is basically convening a working group to look at that issue, and I would be in support of the amendment.
Madam Chair.
I'll also support it.
Yes, Representative Knobloch.
And Madam Chair, I'd say we had some testimony on this issue in Ways and Means last year. In fact, we had put some additional money into our House bill that funded some additional compensation for districts like this that have extraordinary transportation costs. In the end, that was reduced somewhat. This is a problem for some districts, and so I would urge conferees to support this amendment.
Questions on the A-225 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Benson.
As I presented this to members, the Senate conferees, the transportation chair mentioned that there wasn't a transportation expert on this panel. And so I know we had a little trouble with oral amendments last night. If I could ask an indulgence that after line 2.5, we could incorporate the oral amendment.
Another oral amendment? Just joking, Senator Benson.
Actually, line 2.5, delete the period, insert a semicolon, and then on the next line, insert brackets 14, close brackets, the Minnesota Transportation Alliance, period. And I hope that's acceptable to Chair Luna as well.
Members, does everyone understand that amendments? It's on after 2.5, it'd be a new bracket 14, and Minnesota Transportation Alliance would be listed as a representation for transportation. Mm-hmm. Senator Benson, you move that, make that motion on your A225 amendment?
Yes, I do, ma'am.
Questions, discussion on that motion?
And for members, there are no legislators on this member. Sorry, Madam Chair. There are no legislative members on this committee, and the working group members are not eligible to receive compensation for the work they do, and so this should have zero fiscal impact. The department is expected to provide technical assistance as they would under any other request.
Okay. Wonderful. Senator Kickmeyer, you're good? Okay, she's good. All right. Senator Benson moves the amended 8225 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Benson. And Representative Knobloch. Where are we going?
Well, Madam Chair, I think we have the A225 amendment now as part of Article 37 of the KRB 18-03 language. I don't think we've adopted the full article yet.
No, we have not. So you have made that motion. Are there questions to the amended article? Okay. Representative Knobloch renews his motion on the amended KRB 1803, Article 37. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Representative Knobloch, Article 38.
Okay. Madam Chair, I would move the language identified as KRB 18-02, that's Article 38, the following sections, sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. And Madam Chair, this relates to primarily facilities and technology. Talks about disposing of school surplus computers, allocation of expenses among cooperating districts. Respectful meals policy, that's an issue that's had some discussion. Telecommunications and library telecommunications aid and school building projects.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. Is there any questions on this? Ms. Butler, is there anything you want to add to that? Representative Knobloch did a nice job, but no? Okay. Representative Loon, if I could ask this telecommunication access and the aid on the regional library, can you explain that a little bit more? I see there was the House language accepted, the Senate modified.
Madam Chair, well, we kind of had two different approaches on telecommunications, and so we almost have both provisions in here. So the Senate provision is actually one-time aid for districts for their telecommunications aid. The other is it appears that from the Regional Libraries Fund, which is funded through the education bill, about $350,000 that will not be spent. And so rather than taking that out of the Libraries Fund, we are allowing that to be used in one-time grants for telecommunications purposes, perhaps and be hotspots that people could check out for internet access and things like that. But we wanted, the House felt it important to keep that money within the library fund and see if this one-time is an anomaly of the library fund not using all of their resources, or if that could change in subsequent years.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Lubin. Senator Dames, Senate version?
Well, I would also support,
you support it?
Doing okay. This, absolutely.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions on this motion? Comments? All those in favor of Representative Knobloch's motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative Knobloch?
Well, I think, Madam Chair, we are done with that.
Absolutely.
More articles.
Yes, we are. We're done with Article 8. Mm-hmm. We're going to pass out Article 39, 40, and 41, members. We are in recess. Members, let's call this back to order. Representative Knobloch, we left off with Article 39, and you should have 39, 40, and 41 before you. And we still have not adopted the spreadsheet, but Representative Knobloch will... Oh, members, before you go, Representative Knobloch, I do have... We did adopt Senator Benson's A-225. And it's posted, and there are more public copies outside. So we did adopt that amendment, but there are copies outside, and it is posted. With that, Representative Knobloch.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I will move the language in the KRB 18-05 attachment. This is Article 39, and I will move in Article 39 Sections 1 through 15. That section's, and that is the entirety of the article. Make that to 1 through 17. Sections 1 through 17 I'm moving. And Madam Chair, this consists of basically five topics, voluntary pre-kindergarten, high school equivalency tests, ed partnerships, early education background checks, and school readiness plus.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. And Representative Loon, looks like you're the only one up there.
Going it alone, Madam Chair. Yeah, I would support the amendment, Madam Chair. Or the article, excuse me.
Thank you. Ms. Butler, is this your area, voluntary pre-K, high school equivalency? Who with it? Okay. I was just wondering if anybody wanted to extrapolate on this area. Nope. Okay. Any questions? Discussion on Representative Knobloch's motion? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Motion is adopted. Representative Knobloch, Article 40, please.
Madam Chair, I have the language in the KRB 18-07 attachment. This is Article 40. And Madam Chair, I will move in Article 40, Sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And this is all language related to state agencies, Minnesota High School League eligibility procedures, MDA appropriations, Purpich Center appropriations, crosswinds, disposition costs. And there is a repealer in Section 7 that I'm wondering if staff could tell us what that is.
Yes. Who would like to have that one? Mr. Harrison?
Madam Chair, the repealer here is in the High School League Code. And it's basically, the section being repealed requires the High School League to make a report. If you look earlier in the article, Section 2 transfers a responsibility that exists in current law for the commissioner it transfers this kind of review and report authority directly to the League. So it's the Senate's position that the report required under the section being repealed is duplicative now with the amended language in Section 2 of this article.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ernestson. Any comments on this discussion? Representative Loon?
Madam Chair, I would support the amendment.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Representative Knobloch renews his motion on Article 40. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Members, I just want to go back real briefly to Article 39. There was Section 10 that was not adopted. It's the grants on Tier 2 grants. Wait a second. Okay, so we had a technical error maybe. On page 10, subdivision 10, there's grants, and that was not in your motion,
oh, okay.
Senator Knobloch. Yeah, so we're seeing 11 is listed twice under Ed Partnerships. That 11 must be a 10. So, Representative Knobloch, would you like to move that?
I would. Thank you, staff, for catching that. Madam Chair, I would move. Oh, you caught it.
It was me that got it.
Madam Chair, I'm continually more impressed. Madam Chair, in Article 39, the KRB 18-05 language, I would move Section 10, which is page 10, lines 17 through 23, relating to grants.
Thank you very much, Representative Knobloch. On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you. Hello, Senator Pratt. Then we are done with Article 40, and we're on to Article 41. Representative Knobloch.
Madam Chair, I'd move Article 41. This is the KRB 18-06 language. I would move the entirety of the article, which is sections 1 through 26. And these are the forecast adjustments. This is something that traditionally needs to be put in the bill to update where we are with numbers from the last forecast.
Wonderful. Thank you, Representative Knobloch, on that motion. Is there any discussion? Representative Loon?
I'd support the motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Pratt?
I support it.
Staff have anything to... Nothing there. Discussion? Members? On Representative Knobloch's motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Knobloch. Article 41 is done.
And now, Madam Chair, I have the spreadsheets for adoption when you're ready.
Madam Chair, before we leave the articles, I have one minor technical amendment that we caught that if I could offer that, and then we'll be done with the language portion.
Thank you, Representative Loon.
Okay, so members, on the KRB 18-08, and it's Article 36. If you go to the very last page, page 49, line 14, the effective date should not be July 1st. It should be September. So my amendment in, page 49, line 14, would be to change July to September.
Thank you, Representative Loon. On that motion, does everybody understand? On page 49, line 14, change July to September. Questions? Discussion? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, Senator Pratt.
Can I get 1 second left?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Pratt.
Madam Chair, I concur.
Thank you. My apologies. I should have asked. Okay. Representative Loon renews her motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you. Members, we are in recess for 1 moment. Members, we'll call this to order again. Representative Loon, the adult basic education aid for community-based providers was a proposal that was proposed, I believe, both in the House and the Senate. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, actually, it was a Senate-only provision.
Okay, thank you.
Going into conference.
And it was the price tag was about $386,000, is that correct?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
And how was that funded, Representative?
Madam Chair, and I would defer to Senate staff to make sure I have this correct, but I believe it was funded through reductions to the agency. Mm-hmm. And in our negotiations, we decided that those reductions would not be part of the bill brought to conference. And so there was no longer a funding source for that ABE provision.
Ms. Larson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Loon is correct. The Senate originally carried a provision that would have provided $400,000 that would have been paid on the 90-10 shift, so it would have been $360,000 in fiscal year 2019 and then $40,000 in fiscal year 2020 to the community-based providers of ABE, and that was achieved through a cut to the agency base.
I see. How do you remember those figures, Ms. Larson? You're just talking right to me without you don't even know what I'm going to say. And Representative Loon, my info is that there was a revenue neutral. There's no way this could have been revenue neutral. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair. It's really not. I mean, the money has to come from somewhere. And it was funded, I think, originally through a reduction to the agency. Right. And again, we just thought better of that idea of reducing the agency as part of our proposal to conference.
Okay. Thank you very much, Representative Loon. Okay. Representative Knobloch.
Madam Chair, I think now we're ready to adopt the spreadsheets. And, Madam Chair, I would move the three spreadsheets. I'd move the one entitled Property Tax Tracking, which was updated on May 14th at 11:47 a.m. I would move the aid appropriation summary spreadsheet, which was updated on May 14th at 7:15 p.m. That language, that's getting really small. 7:15 p.m. And I'd move the other change item summary that was updated May 14th at 7:15 p.m. And I'd instruct staff with that motion to make all technical corrections as necessary.
Thank you. Thank you for that motion. Questions, discussion on that motion for all three spreadsheets? Thank you, Representative Knobloch. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. All righty. So any final comments, discussion? Representative Loon?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members. Well, I think, again, with the money and the resources we had to use, I think we made very good use of every penny that we had, again, with the priority being school safety and some other good projects. As with any bill that we do, there's certainly more requests than we are able to accommodate, and that's the difficult part of being a finance chair and the decisions we have to make. But hopefully the committee's in agreement that we made the best decisions we could.
Thank you, Representative Loon. And Senator Pratt.
Madam Chair, I concur with what Representative Loon said. I think it was I think we have a good bill going forward. We tackled a lot of difficult issues this year, and I think it's a bill we can be proud of.
Thank you. I do, too. I think you did a very good job with the bill.
And
Representative Loon?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, I neglected to mention that I, as always, appreciate the comments of Commissioner Casalius, and we have worked very carefully with her and her staff this year. They've always been very gracious to work with, and I know that there are some things that they would like to see moving forward, and just that we are certainly hoping to continue to work with her and reach agreement that we'll have a bill that will be signed this year.
Very good, Representative Loon. Thank you very much. And thank you, Senator Pratt, for your work on this. With that, we are done with the K-12 articles. And members, we have the HHS articles will be posted here soon. They were posted. Okay. And we will recess until after the Senate Human Services hearing, approximately at 5 o'clock. We are in recess. The Supplemental Omnibus Finance Committee will come to order. Thank you, members. A couple quick announcements. If you are sitting here in the audience wondering if we are going to take up state government or judiciary tonight, we are not going to be taking those up. We are going to work on HHS tonight, Great. Housing is complete, and it sounds like energy is about done and will be posted here shortly. So those are the three bills that we are going to do tonight. And like I said, state government and judiciary tomorrow. Another very important announcement is the Sweets and Treats on second floor. It's open until 8:30 tonight. That was big. Yeah, exactly. I am buying for everybody. So we have the HHS in front of us. We have eight articles with this bill. Thank you, Representative Dean, Chair Dean, and Chair Schumacher, and Chair Benson for being in front of us. We have Article 22 before us. Members, you just have Article 22, Article 23, and Article 24 before you. We're going to try again to consolidate and help with the paper flow. We will finish those three articles, move them away, and we'll pass out the next three articles, and we'll continue to do it that way. With that, I would like to just have comments from the chairs about their bill. Chair Dean, welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. We are pleased to put forward the omnibus health and human services packages that you have before us. For some folks, we know that we will not be moving all of those, but the majority of them where we have agreement, and look to be moving those through and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Chair Dean. And members, we do not have a spreadsheet at this moment. It is being worked on. We may have to take a little recess after we go through the policy and the articles. Yeah, we don't have an appropriation article either. So we have a little more work to do tonight, but we can start getting through this. Chair Schumacher, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Obviously, there's a lot here. There's a lot in Health and Human Services, and we look forward to the discussion tonight.
Thank you, Commissioner, or Senator, or Chair Schumacher. I'll get this right. Yeah, there you go. I went through it all. Governor Schumacher, I got it. Chair Benson, I think you're back there.
Hello, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody, for the patience to take up HHS at this hour. It could have been worse. We do not have a spreadsheet, and we have not reached agreement on all financial provisions, but in the interest of all of your attention and work for the revisor, we wanted to move policy provisions. This gets the language out in front of everybody and hopefully makes it easier for the governor, his commissioners who are here, to point out things that would be exceptionally controversial and would be a challenge for getting this bill signed. And there's some really key reforms. It's a small HHS bill, but there are some things that point to a direction of good bipartisan work. Senator Rosen and Senator Kiffmeyer, both members of this committee, were key contributors to the work in this bill, and so I thank them for their help.
Thank you, Chair Benson. Okay. So with that, we are going to start with Article 22. Yes. Thank you. Members, I think we're going to go ahead with our testimony from our commissioners. So Representative Dean and Representative Schumacher and Senator Benson, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to ask Commissioner Malcolm to come up, Commissioner Johnson, and Commissioner Luman, please.
Thank you.
We invite you to the party, and then we send you away. Hello, Commissioner Malcolm. How are you?
Good evening, Madam Chair.
Commissioner Johnson, nice to see you. Hi, Commissioner Lumen. Who would like to go first?
I'm still
Madam Chair, my comments are very brief, so I can go ahead and go first if that's okay.
That's fine.
Great, thank you. For the record, my name is Jessica Lumen. I'm the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Commerce. I specifically just want to point out an area of concern in Article 24 that relates to short-term limited duration health plans. Again, at the Minnesota Department of Commerce, one of our roles is to regulate insurance companies in the state of Minnesota, and we have been working closely with our fellow departments, as well as with several patient advocacy groups and some of our health plans here in Minnesota, and there are great concerns about this language and about the expansion of the use of short-term limited duration plans in Minnesota. Very briefly, our concerns are really around three things. One is that these plans actually don't really cover much. They don't provide adequate health coverage, and frankly, their plans that were initially designed as a bridge coverage between actual comprehensive coverage, they are currently actually available in Minnesota for up to 6 months, and it's for when you can't, when you're in between health insurance, that this is the type of insurance that you may want to purchase. But short-term limited duration plans don't cover comprehensive benefits or many, many of the other things that Minnesotans need if they possibly are going to unfortunately get sick in Minnesota. The other problem with this bill particularly is that it is not short-term, but it's actually full-time coverage. In Minnesota, as with in health insurance, as with other insurance policies, we have an annual renewal, and we have a plan year, which is a one-year term for health insurance in Minnesota. This actually creates a new type of insurance that it could be up to 2 years, 1 year plus renewable for another year, and that makes it health insurance, not a short-term plan anymore. And finally, our real concern here from the Department of Commerce's perspective is also that this disrupts the really hard work that this legislative body and the governor have done to stabilize our individual market with the reinsurance plan that was passed, particularly that reduced premiums in the individual market by 25%. That plan is currently in effect, the reinsurance program for plan years 18 and 19, and we're really concerned that by bringing short-term limited duration plans online for Minnesotans, that we will pull out the healthy people who are currently in our individual market, and that will destabilize and raise the rates for all of the other people who are participating in our health care plans. So those are our primary concerns with the short-term limited duration. I thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Commissioner Lumen. Are there any comments, questions, discussions? Thank you very much, Commissioner. Commissioner Malcolm?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. We want to thank you for the very hard work you're putting into this omnibus supplemental budget bill. It's a little hard to comment without seeing the spreadsheets yet, but I will, with your leave, just mention the issues that we hope to see in the bill, concerns that with things that may not be in the bill, realizing you're still working on it. While we do value some of the investments the Conference Committee is making in prevention, we're very troubled by how few of the governor's supplemental budget proposals for public health were actually included or have been so far. Regarding the prevention of elder abuse, I know that your both bodies, House and Senate, have worked hard and continue to work, we hope and believe, to take steps to address this urgent and vital issue. I just want to reiterate again the governor's view that it's critical that some meaningful change happen this session. We have worked with the members of the legislature, citizen advocates, providers, stakeholders to find a positive solution that is sufficient to the urgency of this issue and takes advantage of the bipartisan momentum that exists right now. We are concerned that the Conference Committee's ultimate report will be comprehensive and contain essential elements of reform. And as we've pointed out, the earlier funding proposals did not match our fiscal notes, just want to reiterate that the governor has suggested a standalone bill in this case. He has made a revised proposal last Friday that has been shared with both bodies and now is highly prioritized on his top priorities and now costs just $16 million in general fund spending over the entire next 3 years. We believe strongly that elder abuse is just too important a topic to wait until the next session to make progress. I want to repeat a topic we've talked about before. The bill lacks the, and we would see policy language if this were your intent, I believe. So I think this is an omission that the governor will be concerned about. Lacks the governor's request for increased safe drinking water fees by a modest 28 cents per connection per month. This fee hasn't increased since 2005, and this small increase is essential for us to be able to maintain our proactive efforts with public water suppliers to ensure that all Minnesotans have safe drinking water, particularly important for smaller and rural systems that lack resources and technical capacity of their own. We'd hate to get into the situation where we have to see systems failing before we can step in and help with mitigation efforts. Prevention is a far superior strategy. On the topic of medical cannabis, we haven't seen your final intentions here, but we hope that you will adopt the governor's realignment of the medical cannabis program appropriations from the state government special revenue fund in order to ensure that the fees that are already being paid by manufacturers and patients can be used for their benefit to fund our 24/7 patient registry, our expert staff who are working to ensure manufacturer quality, and to staff a very busy call center as this program has continued to grow. This adjustment does not change any current law, does not raise fees, and has no general fund impact or cost to Minnesota taxpayers. On the topic of the House public safety portion of the bill, I'm concerned with the repeal of Minnesota Statute Section 609.5315, Subdivision 5C, which is the forfeited cash provision. The forfeited cash, which is collected by law enforcement in this particular provision, comes to MDH to support safe harbor services to help sexually exploited youth. Removing this provision will have a detrimental impact on MDH's ability to provide these necessary services to highly vulnerable youth. On another topic, related to the Hubbard County Resort, we also continue to have concerns about the bill's language that establishes a variance in law for a Hubbard County Resort. Our staff have been working closely with this resort to find a solution that works for all within our existing processes. We do not believe that there is an undue burden to install a dump station on site, so we feel strongly that a variance is not needed in this incident and that a dangerous precedent would be set by granting one in statute. As Commissioner Luman mentioned, with regard to changes in the coverage system, we're very concerned as well about the changes in short-term individual insurance coverage. Allowing what was intended to be short-term coverage for up to 2 years and allowing exclusion of coverage for pre-existing conditions for the first 6 months will not only have a deleterious effect on the insurance market, as Commissioner Luman has testified, but it will also have a negative impact on consumers, not only from a cost perspective, but on their health as well. 6 months and 2 years are a long time to not have the benefit of preventive coverage or coverage to deal with illnesses when they are first discovered. I'd like to also draw your attention to an urgent general fund request that was included in the governor's bonding bill, $2.37 million in one-time resources to replace outdated equipment in our public health laboratory. There are some specific and new pieces of equipment that are highly necessary to ensure that our lab continues to provide timely and urgent testing of health threats, including infectious disease agents like Ebola, bioterrorism agents, and PFCs in the water and radiation. So in conclusion, Madam Chair, we again appreciate all the work that this body does to help us ensure that Minnesotans can remain healthy. We have some challenges before us in these remaining days, but we thank you very much for your attention and your consideration.
Thank you, Commissioner Malcolm. Are there any questions for the Commissioner? Discussion? Thank you so much for coming. Commissioner Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chuck Johnson serves as Acting Commissioner of the Department of Human Services. There are, again, it's a little bit difficult without a spreadsheet to comment on the bill, and so reviewing the provisions now. Obviously, there are several of the governor's priorities that didn't even make it to this table. I won't run through that, but I think some of the concern in the human services area is simply that there are issues that the governor prioritized that have not been followed through to this step in the process. As Commissioner Malcolm said, we're certainly concerned about what happens in the area of the adult abuse proposals. I know it's still being worked on. We'll appreciate the opportunity to see that when you have it. And also understand that there's work continuing to go on how the opioid pieces will be fit within this bill. We're disappointed that the opioid proposal appears to not include holding the pharmaceutical companies accountable for their role in this problem that we have. I understand that Madam Chair, you and others have worked very hard on that, and this is where we are. We're certainly disappointed in that, and we'll have to see what proposals are included, but hope that you have a package that balances treatment, prevention, and law enforcement needs within addressing that crisis going forward. Within the bill that we can see now, there are several things that we think are glad to see here, data sharing for third-party liability within our healthcare programs, codifying the enhanced rate for personal care attendance, which is an important thing to do this session, creating electronic verification eligibility within our home services as well, extension of the American Indian Advisory Councils, and also appreciate the work that's been done on the Child Care Assistance Program and working through those pieces of the program and using the federal money as best we can to meet the needs within that program. Some of our concerns within the bill, I think what's here for NEMT, non-emergency medical transportation, is good, but the one piece that's missing is the enrollment of the individual drivers as providers. And having just come from talking for 2 hours about fraud, that's what a internal control looks like, is having a registration of each individual provider so that we can track, we can make sure the bad actors aren't part of the program anymore, we can ensure they aren't showing up working for another company and so forth. We believe that's a piece that should be included in this proposal. We also have opposed and do oppose the hiring a vendor to do eligibility checks around medical assistance and SNAP eligibility. This is repetitive of work that we already do, work that is scheduled to go on healthcare programs through the periodic data match. We're also not sure that what's written in the bill is operationalizable and that we could make it work. We're disappointed that this bill continues to include the child and teen checkup change that we opposed when it moved through the Senate. This essentially allows providers, doctors, to continue to earn an enhanced rate even when they're not following the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendations for how you should do screening and what should be considered in screening children. The bill also includes a requirement that we reconcile the Minnesota care premiums. I understand that not everyone is happy with our decision to not reconcile those premiums and to write that off, but we believe that is the right decision. We made that decision based on the best work that we had done to try to reconcile the premiums. We believe it's important to move on, not put Minnesota families through that kind of turmoil that would happen if we were sending them out bills on these issues. We're also concerned that the bill removes rulemaking authority for the agency. This is something that we believe is an important part of the administrative obligations of an agency to have the ability to create rules, to implement the laws that you pass, and to ensure that there's structure and consistency in how programs are carried out across the state, and that we have the force of law that a rule provides when we're doing that. And we're also Mr. Chair, thanks, or Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity to share those remarks. Again, as we see the spreadsheet, I understand we'll learn more about the scale of work that you're planning on doing in some of these areas, and I'm sure we'll have some more comments at that point.
Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. Yes, we are definitely have a lot of work ahead of us, but do appreciate you coming. Thank you so much. With that, I think we could start with adopting the policy on Article 24. Members, we're going to start with the A18. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm out of order. We're going to start with Article 22, the health care article, the A18-0940. And it is...
Madam Chair. Senator Knobloch, you know, I might just have a brief summary of this one by Ms. White, if you wouldn't mind, Ms. White, before we adopt it. Oh, excuse me, Katie. Ms. Kavanaugh.
Madam Chair, other than it's all health care, it's really, there isn't any, do you want me to go through the sections?
No, just an, oh, I mean, it is somewhat, looks complicated. Anything that stands out that we should take a look at? Section 12, the DHS to reconcile the Minnesota care premiums.
So in the amendment, section 1 is, you know, requires the state agencies to specify specific information from the LAC when they're asking for federal funds. Sections 2 and 13, that's requiring the Department of Public Safety to share Social Security numbers with DHS for purposes of recovery of benefits. Section 3 is the requiring MMB approval for agency fund transfers other than the routine administrative operations when moving from fund to fund. Section 4 is requiring DHS to contract with a vendor to verify eligibility for MA, Minnesota Care, and SNAP enrollees. Section 5 allows DHS to exempt a rehabilitation agency from termination or denial from being a Medicaid or provider. Section 6 is the telemedicine, allowing community paramedics to be a provider of telemedicine. Section 7 requires the DHS to contract with a vendor for the oversight of the non-emergency medical transportation providers. Section 8 prohibits terminated non-emergency medical providers from re-enrolling for 5 years after they've been terminated. Section 9 requires DHS to make training materials and other information available to non-emergency medical providers. Section 10 allows providers to not provide the screening recommendations added on or after January 1st, 2017, and would still receive full reimbursement under the Child and Teen Checkup Program. Section 11 requires DHS Healthcare Services Policy Committee to make recommendations on non-pharmacological pain management, and Section 12 requires DHS to reconcile the Minnesota care premiums by July 1st, 2018.
Thank you, Ms. Kavanaugh. Is there any questions on this article, members? Discussion? Okay. Representative Knobloch.
Well, Madam Chair, I'll move the language that's just been described, the A18-0940 language, Article 22, which is sections 1 through 13 of Article 22, page 1, line 4, through page 12, line 26. And the language in that article is as was described by Ms. Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. Representative Dean. Oh, excuse me, Representative Dean. I can't see you guys.
We were just wondering if staff might be able to help us with an amendment on the eligibility verification.
Representative Dean, we cannot hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Please.
On Section 4 of the bill, to add the CCAP program for the eligibility determination in those sections.
Senator Rosa.
Representative Dean, do you have the amendment, or is it an oral amendment?
Madam Chair.
Ms. White.
Madam Chair. We do have an amendment
drafted, but it's not drafted to the delete everything amendment in front of you. It'd be drafted to the language in the side-by-side, and we'd have to make copies of that. But the amendment basically adds references to the CCAP program every place that MA, Minnesota Care, and the SNAP program are mentioned.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Ms. White.
Oh, Madam Chair.
Ms. White.
Yeah, I think we can just do that orally if you want
to. Okay, if you'd like to march through that, we're working on page 3.
Yes, page 3, line 26. Before and, insert child care assistance program. And in every other instance where it says Minnesota Care, comma, insert child care assistance program in section 4.
Okay. So it will read, the commissioner shall ensure that medical assistance, Minnesota Care, and child care assistance program and supplemental nutrition assistance program, SNAP, and so that would be found in subdivision 1, paragraph A, paragraph B, where else, Ms. White, would it be in subdivision 2?
On 4.14, 5.9, and if you want to direct staff, if we missed one, we'll put it in as a technical amendment.
Would that, Ms. White, it would be also on 5.9?
Yes, 5.9.
5.9? Okay, I cannot hear you that well. That's why I'm having a little problem here. So, pull that forward, please. Thank you. Is there any discussion to this oral amendment? Actually, Representative Dean, is that what you were thinking?
Yep, just so that it catches all the provisions, I think she's got them.
Great, okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Knobloch.
I can incorporate that into my motion that we add that child care assistance program in where staff mentioned. I think it was page 3, line 26, page 3, line 32, page 4, line 14, page 5, line 9, and staff make any other technical corrections to add it where necessary.
That'd be wonderful. Okay. All those in favor of the oral amendment by Representative Knobloch, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay. Senator Benson, you had your hand up.
Madam Chair, it was just to get your attention in case you couldn't see Representative
okay.
Dean. And Madam Chair, and for those of you who weren't here when Representative Garofalo was offering amendments, we're not going to make a habit.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Benson. Yeah, we learned our lesson on that one. But that was a good amendment, and appreciate this oral amendment to straighten this out. With that, we have the motion before us from Representative Knobloch, the amended motion. Further discussion on that amended motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Article is adopted. On to Article 23, please. Representative Knobloch.
Well, Madam Chair, I'll move Article 23, which is the language contained in A18-0934, and it is a number of sections. I think, Madam Chair, I'm going to... Well, I think it's going to be easiest to just adopt all the sections, which is sections 1 through 50, which would be page 1, line 4, through page 36, line 16. Excuse me, make that 1 through 52, sections 1 through 52. And I see, Madam Chair, that there is a repealer in section 52. So if we could have staff speak to the repealer or prepare to speak to the repealer, And let me just say that this section or article relating to the health department covers a number of miscellaneous topics, modifies well and boring provisions, directs the Commissioner of Health to regulate security screening systems, allows training grants to be awarded under primary care residency programs for the duration of the residency, has a lot of provisions modifying provisions governing home care providers and the supervision requirements for technicians in tattoos and temporary body piercing, establishing certification requirements in certain cases, requires a report evaluating the results of opioid abuse, directs the commissioner to submit a plan to reconstitute the Autism Spectrum Disorder Task Force, requires the commissioner to develop a strategic plan to provide more information about the human herpes virus. And, Madam Chair, we also have the repealer I mentioned. If staff could talk about what that is.
Yes, thank you, Representative Knobloch. Ms. Kevner.
Madam Chair and members, the repealer, paragraph A, repeals obsolete provisions regarding the tuberculosis prevention and control and the transition to a new licensing structure for home care providers. And paragraph B repeals the requirements for body artists to supervise temporary artists. New language is being added in this article to take that the place of that.
Thank you. Any questions? Discussion? Senator Benson, could you please explain Section 47, the report evaluating results of opioid abuse prevention pilot project that was funded for FY19, the Senate provision, please?
Madam Chair and members, this is related to the Project ECHO, and when we added money, we had to update the reporting requirements so that we would get a report as the money was used instead of after just the first grant. I believe I'm trying to make eye contact with Ms. Kavanaugh, and she nodded, so I got that right. So thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So, and Madam Chair,
Ms. Kavanaugh,
if we don't,
Ms.
If it ends up that if we don't fund that pilot project for fiscal year 2019, we'd probably take this section out.
Ms. Kavanaugh, I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. What's that?
If we don't end up funding the opioid prevention pilot program for another year, so for fiscal year 2019, you'd probably take this section out because you wouldn't need to extend the report.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. With that, we do have a motion before us. Is there further discussion, comments on this Article 23? Representative Knobloch renews his motion on Article 23. I won't go through the whole thing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. And members, we have Article 24 before us. Actually, members, I think Representative Knobloch and I need to take a quick recess. We are in recess.
What are you talking about?
Committee will come to order. I would also like to welcome Senator Abler. Hi, Senator Abler. I didn't see you over there either. So you're sitting there, too. He has the policy division, or one of the divisions of Health and Human Services, and the best one. There you go. We have Article 24 before us, members, and Representative Knobloch.
Madam Chair, I'll move Article 24, which is the A18-0939 language, page 1, line 4 through page 16, line 28. That's sections 1 through 13. There is a repealer in section 13 that I'd like staff to look up to tell that tell us what that is once we get to it, but just briefly a description of what's in the article. We require coverage for 3D mammograms, allow short-term coverage to be provided for less than 12 months with one renewal, require certain information to be provided for patients with notice of facility fees, prohibit a health plan company or PBM from charging enrollees more than defined allowable cost for a covered medication, regulates surprise billing, regulates other PBM contracts, allows county sheriffs to operate alternative medicine disposal programs, and deals with time limits for controlled substance dispensing and refills. Madam Chair, that is my motion. We could recognize staff to tell us about the repealer.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch, for a very good summary, I must say. Ms. Kavanaugh, on the repealer.
Madam Chair and members, the first repealer repeals the section that which excluded the short-term coverage from loss ratio requirements. And the second repealer repeals the current cancer drug repository program.
Okay, thank you. Representative Dean, thoughts? Representative Schumacher? Senator Benson?
Madam Chair, just briefly, Senator this contains a lot of the work from the Senate Select Committee this summer. We are looking for ways to have consumers more engaged and create some transparency, and a lot of that is reflected in this article.
Very good. Thank you. Any discussion on Article 24? Okay. Representative Knobloch renews his motion on Article 24. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Article is adopted. Okay, members, we are going to pass out Article 25, 26, and 20. Article 25, 28, and 29. Okay, members, we have Article 25 before you, 28, and then it says Article 1, which is actually Article 29. That has been revised because they put in the chemical and mental health and state-operated services. So we are going to start with Article 25. Does everyone have it? Yep. Okay, perfect. Representative Knobloch.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm going to move some of the language in the A18-0933 language. Madam Chair, I move sections in Article 25, Sections 3, Sections 5 through 32, Sections 33, 34, 35, Sections 36, through 40, sections 41 to 44, sections 45 to 50, section 59, section 51, section 60, and section 61. This article deals with health-related licensing boards. I'm not moving the sections that deal with the advanced practice registered nurses, giving them authority to engage in different administrative actions. I guess we're going to get to that separately. So for now, I'm only moving the other sections, which relate to establishing health service executive licensure, converting the license renewal cycle for allied professionals regulated by the board, modifying fees for various boards, optometry, social work, modifying dental licensure provisions, establishing emergency prescription order standards for pharmacists, temporary license suspensions and background checks for health-related professionals, modifying continuing education requirements relating to opioids, language relating to the EMS regulatory board, and there is one repealer at the very back section, actually two repealers, section 61, that I'd like you to recognize staff to describe.
So, Representative Knobloch, you did not move sections 1, 2, 4, and 52 through 58. Is that correct?
That is correct, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if Senator I can just comment.
Senator Kittmeyer.
Madam Chair, sorry. So, just to let you know, all of this is in a bill that has passed off the Senate floor, concurrence in the House floor today. So it's on its way to the governor. There have been no negative votes, so we're expecting it to be signed, and so the stakeholders said to not adopt it in this bill.
So, Senator Kittmeyer, you're talking about that first sections 1 and 2, 4, and 52 through 58.
That's correct,
the advanced
Chair.
Practice registered nurses. Okay, so that is already done. Thank
but
you.
That's why,
Senator Kittmeyer. All right. And Ms. Kavanaugh, can you speak to the repealer, please?
Madam Chair, one of them is an obsolete section regarding criminal background checks that we don't need anymore, and the other one is obsolete rules on license renewal.
Okay. Great. Representative Dean, Representative Schumacher, thoughts, questions, comments on this article? Senator Benson.
Senator Abler.
Senator Benson, are you good?
No, I said Senate agrees.
Okay. See you. Okay, great.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Knobloch.
Madam Chair, I'm wondering to either the Senate or the House, regarding the modified fees for the Board of Social Work, I'd seen some reference in our table describing the side-by-sides about an amendment modifying fee amounts. Is there an amendment that is up for consideration here that someone is bringing?
Representative Dean.
Madam Chair and Representative Knobloch, the most, the fee increase that was approved that we heard the most about was the one that you're referencing. And in between the first stop and now, it has been adjusted down 50%. So that's been knocked down in half already. And that's already incorporated within what's before us right now.
Thank you, Representative Dean, and thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. So questions and discussion on Senate Representative Knobloch's motion to adopt Article 25. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Article is adopted. Representative Knobloch to
Article 28, the A18-0946, Children's and Families Licensing.
Madam Chair, I'm going to move the language described as A18-0946, and that would be sections 1 through 25, the page 1, line 4, through page 20, line 2. And, Madam Chair, this is the Children and Families Licensing section. It has a number of CCAP provisions, provisions related to child care, has a number of provisions related to child foster care, requires an annual foster care training. Family child care training hours are regulated and described. Extends the American Indian Advisory Council, requires some reports, extends the American Indian Child Welfare Advisory Council, establishes the Foster Care Sibling Bill of Rights, requires commissioners and reviser to work together to consolidate DHS and MDH functions in the Department of Investigation, Compliance, and Eligibility, creates a DHS restructuring working group, has some other language relating to child care licensing rules. Madam Chair, that describes sections 1 through 25 in Article 28.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. Representative Dean, Representative Schumacher, okay. Senator Adler.
Thanks, and I hope I can be loud enough here. Just a couple things to highlight. This actually has a fiscal impact where it spends $60 million in federal block grant funds for child care. And the most noteworthy of that, the Senate accepted the House's position on the homeless funding, so some people are interested in that. But the takeaway on this is that with the concern about the tails that this may create, the rate will go up to a maximum of 25% of the 2018 survey. If the federal block grants never get replaced on the $60 million side, then that rate would float to handle available funding, and that's, I think, a key difference. And then also, just to put a nod out to one other item in the bill, the department at one point expressed an interest in wordsmithing the language on Section 22, which is bringing back a plan where the oversight of the Department of Health and Human Services would be created into a third entity. So all the licensing, all the investigations, compliance, and eligibility work would be done in this group. This is just a plan. It doesn't require them to. It would come back here to be done. But with a nod toward Mr. Johnson and Ms. Tam for their durability at our hearing today, and I truly appreciate them and their work, I think this would be a good kind of a way to improve everything that we're all after, both at the department and here. This would then be left into the hands of whatever new governor we have to really fully execute. So that's the highlight of that area.
Thank you, Senator Abler. And I am looking for a particular – thank you very much for Section 11, Assistance for Persons Who Are Experiencing Homelessness. Thank you. It's a very important section, and could make a tremendous difference. Any more discussion on Representative Knobloch's amendment to adopt, I'm a little confused here, 1 through 25 sections? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The amendment is adopted. Or the motion is adopted. Thank you. And Representative Knobloch, we have Article 1, actually, members in front of us. It's 29 on your tracking sheet, the state-operated services and chemical and mental health. Representative Knobloch.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm going to move the language that's contained in A18-0935. I move sections 1 through 12, page 1, line 4, page 13, line 25. There is a repealer in section 12 that I'd ask staff to look up and be ready to describe when I'm finished describing the rest of the items that are in this article. This deals, as we mentioned, with chemical and mental health, establishes post-arrest inmate mental health screening and data procedures, modifies various human service licensing provisions for providers of behavioral health and substance use treatment services. It strikes language allowing DHS to use CCDTF treatment funds for administrative purposes, provides for medical assistance coverage of post-arrest care coordination services, and repeals rules related to changes in CD treatment assessment needs process. I guess that's the repealer, but I do want to have our staff confirm that.
Thank you.
That's my motion.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. Ms. White on the repealer.
Madam Chair, actually, it's a House-only provision, so Ms. Sarah Sunderberg.
Ms. Sunderman.
Madam Chair, the repealer relates to, it repeals some rules related to the assessment of need process for chemical dependency treatment licensing, and it's, the repealer is there because of some provisions in, let's see what sections, in sections 2 through 6 and section 8, they changed the process.
Thank you, Ms. Sunderman. Okay. Discussion. Representative Dean, Representative Schumacher, Senator Benson, Senator Abler. Okay, great. Discussion on the Article 1 motion from Representative Knobloch. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed nay. Motion prevails. Okay, members, we have two more articles left for you. They are being passed out right now. So members, we have Article 30 and then the forecast adjustments that are going to be passed out. We are not doing Article 9, the miscellaneous, on your sheet. Representative
Knobloch. Madam Chair, I'm going to move the language in the A18-0938 that was passed out. Madam Chair, I'm going to be moving sections 1 through 34. There is a repealer in section 34. I'll ask staff to be able to describe when we're finished. Madam Chair, this relates to community supports and continuing care, modifies a number of existing adult foster care moratorium exceptions, modifies HCBS standards, has various modifications to MIN choices, establishes new requirements for receiving a PCA enhanced rate, extends for 5 years the TBI Advisory Council, modifies the housing supports program, establishes an electronic visit verification system, permits a Hennepin County Housing Services establishment to redistribute its bed capacity, and has the repealer and revisers instructions. That's my motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. And Ms. White on the repealer, please. Oh, Mr. Monahan, thank you.
Madam Chair, the repealer repeals a paper-based visit verification system for PCA services, which is being replaced by the electronic visit verification system that is in the bill.
Questions, comments on that? Representative Dean, Representative Schumacher? Looks good. Senator Benson, Senator Ebler? Looks good there, too. Okay. Members, any discussion on the A30 motion by Representative Knobloch? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Members, we have one more article in front of us, Article 31. It's the Human Services Forecast Adjustment. It's the A18-0937. Representative Knobloch.
Madam Chair, I'd move the forecast adjustments article. It's Article 31, page 1, line 4 through page 2, line 30. And this is a standard motion to conform to the budget forecast.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. Are there any discussion questions to this article? Representative Dean, Representative Schumacher? Okay. Senator Benson, Senator Ebler? Thank you. To Representative Knobloch renews his motion on the Article 3A18-0937. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Okay, with that, we do not have anything else to work with on Health and Human Services, so we're going to lay this aside, members. We're going to go back to our other books. I believe we are ready for the housing discussion. And let us just, we're in recess right now to get this organized. The meeting will come to order. Members, we are going to work on Article 8, the housing article first, but before we do that, I just have a brief announcement. We are not going to be doing the energy article tonight or no more HHS. Thank you, Brian. I kind of forgot. So we're just going to wrap up on the housing provision at this point. Welcome, Representative Garofalo, of course, who serve on this committee, and Senator Westrom. I'm getting punchy. Welcome. We have your housing article in front of us. Who would like to go first and just kind of a brief summary?
Senator Westrom. Chair, you tell us how much detail you want. We can give you as much or as little as you want. Generally, the provisions in front of us on the housing, we've come to agreement with the House and Senate. I'll let Representative Garofalo walk through some of it, or staff, if you want more detail.
Representative Garofalo.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And first of all, I want to thank Chairman Knobloch for his work on this article. There's a lot of complex things in here, and I want to thank him for his leadership on it as well. But thank you, Senator Westrom, for your work as well, and we've reached an agreement on this article. Madam Chair, there is one amendment that has been passed out, so I don't know if you want to move the formal article in front of us, and then we can move the amendment. But there is agreement between the House and Senate on this. And thank you. As always, it was great to work with Senator Westrom. So this is just the one amendment right now that I'm aware of, Madam Chair.
I agree. I think we will move the article. Representative Knobloch, would you like to move the article, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. I will move the language in Housing 18. That's Article 8, Sections 1 through 46. It would be page 1, line 1, through page 46, line 9. There is one repealer that I would mention that I think we need to have staff identify. And I guess, Madam Chair, we could, I don't know if you want me to talk any more about what's in it, being we have the presentation of the housing people here. But there's one, as I make the motion, Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair, Representative Knobloch, we're going to wait on that for a little bit after testimony.
Oh, all right.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Knopf, I will ask you to do the repealer, though, if you could.
Madam Chair, members, the repealer was from the House language, and it repeals an exception. There's basically a rent control prohibition in statutes, but there are exceptions, and this repeals the exceptions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Knopf. With that, I think we're going to move to the Commissioner Tingerthal. With MHFA, please. Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you, chairs and members of the conference committee. Many of the concerns that we have with the housing provisions have been expressed in a letter to the chairs, and I was disappointed to see that essentially none of these concerns have been addressed with the new language that you have today. In fact, we now have a housing provision of an appropriations bill that includes numerous policy provisions and no appropriations, including an appropriation that was in the House bill earlier for the proven Homework Starts with Home program. Of equal concern is significant new language, which none of us had seen before, in Section 11, Article 8, that has to do with some fairly complex changes to the section of state law that deals with allocating tax-exempt bonds that are used for housing, and that we have not seen until the bill was posted 2 hours ago. There are significant changes that potentially cause conflict between federal and state law regarding the allocation of federal housing tax credits, which is the largest resource that this state receives from the federal government for new affordable housing. Among other things, the new language appears to remove the authority of the designated allocating agency, and in the case of the state, that would be the Independent Minnesota Housing Finance Agency Board, and give a priority to a project, a single priority and the highest priority to a project simply by means of having received an allocation of tax-exempt bonds, that it should therefore receive an allocation of tax credits. We feel that this really undermines what has been a strength of the federal tax credit program for more than 30 years, and we've heard this from members of Congress, that one of the strengths is the oversight of the allocation of tax credits to rental housing developments that is provided on a state-by-state basis and therefore is, really looks to curb any would-be abuses by developers that may reach too far. In fact, one of the items that's included is a prohibition against an allocating agency having a provision that would require cost reasonableness of a project. So we're concerned. We haven't had a time to look deeply at the language since we've had it such a short time, but we are very concerned about these provisions. There is one other provision that came from the Senate bill that we have expressed concern about, and that is a provision that instructs the Housing Finance Agency in the utilization of funds that are within the purview of the agency and do not come from appropriations. And we expressed our concern again about that and the way that it challenges the governance of our independent board. So with that, Madam and Mr. Chair, those conclude my comments.
Thank you, Commissioner. Are there any questions, discussion for the Commissioner? Thank you very much, Commissioner. With that, Representative Knobloch, I know you do have an oral amendment, and then Representative Garofalo will get to yours.
Well, Madam Chair, on in reference to some of the concerns that the Commissioner expressed about Section 11, I'd like to remove language. This is actually a bill that I have that is page 10, lines 26 through 28, which deals with setting standards in regard to what can or not be can or cannot be considered when they're granting tax credits and doing approvals. And so, Madam Chair, I guess I can incorporate that into my amendment, or we can vote on it, however you want.
I'd like to vote on that.
Okay, so I would move the removal of page 10, lines 26 through 28. And this would allow things such as the cost per unit for a housing project to be considered when these decisions are made.
Thank you, Representative Knobloch. Representative Garofalo?
Madam Chair, I support the amendment, and thank the Commissioner for bringing it.
Senator Westren?
Madam Chair, I too, Senator Knob- or Representative Knobloch, just to verify, that's language we were just talking about a little bit before the meeting started. That would be removed.
Representative Knobloch?
Yes, that is Senator Westrum.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd support the amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Senator Westrum. Representative Knobloch moves that page 10, line 26 through 28 be deleted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay. Representative Garofalo.
Madam Chair, I would like to move the S53656 Housing 1 amendment. And this is technical in nature, nonpartisan staff, and Senator Lemmer worked on this. There was a reference regarding the discharge of restricted covenants that was in the bill that was made a statutory reference that did not exist. So we're correcting that and making sure that it's all hunky-dory.
I'm going to vote for it because it's in paper.
A Garofalo paper amendment.
A Garofalo paper
Madam
amendment.
Madam Chair, this we are setting the bar low. We are setting the bar low.
At least there's a bar. Okay, any discussion to the SF-3656 Housing 1 amendment? Senator Garofalo renews his motion. All those in favor.
Whoa! Don't call me a senator.
Oh, Representative Garofalo renews his motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Okay, so we have before us an amended Housing 18 article. Any further discussion? Comments? Looks good. Representative Knobloch renews his motion on Housing 18, Article 8, amended article. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, members. Okay, so looks like we have – oh, do we have to
– you are. Thanks,
Dory. Looks like we have still HHS to finish up tomorrow, Energy, State Gov, and Public Safety. So we have a full day. I'd like to turn it over to Representative Knobloch.
Well, Madam Chair, I will certainly be calling the conference committee again tomorrow. I guess at this point, I don't know that I want to give a time. I would imagine it would be maybe 1 o'clock, something like that. But we want to make sure that we have all the language available and ready to go. And so I guess watch for conference committee tomorrow at the call of the House Chair.
And Representative Knobloch, what time do you guys go on to the floor?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, and we are the same. Okay. Any questions? Discussion? Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.